Welcome back to the Quadcast. It's Jake from Quad Hunting. Today's episode, we're going to talk about what it's like being a producer in news, and then a little bit more about what it's like being a director in news with one of my best friends, Kylie Tarnowski, who I probably call by her former name, Kylie Sapp. She had gotten married a little bit before we recorded, and I've known her as Kylie Sapp my entire time I've known her. So today we're going to talk about what it's like being working in news a little bit more, and that was pretty much our entire conversation. So make sure you check out this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and then you can watch the video version on YouTube. So without further ado, let's get right into the interview with Kylie. All right, now we're joined by Kylie. So recently married. What's your last? Can you pronounce your last name for me so I actually know how to say it right in the intro?
Tarnowski.
Tarnowski.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to listen to this over and over again, like the good journalists we're supposed to be, and make sure this is right. So we both worked at WTXL 27 you worked there for 2 years?
2 years.
And I was there for one. You were a producer. Mm-hmm. I was a director. You actually were the one that got stuck with me for the first time that I had to direct something. And
was
the
I?
First, yeah, you were the producer. I had to do, I think it was a 5:30.
Yeah. That's
and right. The first thing you ever said to me was, "Why did you dump out of that sod early?"
Yeah. Sorry.
That was my first impression of Kylie. Now, it's a little better, but...
Yeah.
So talk about being a producer a little bit and what your daily life was like that people might not understand that goes in, all the stuff that goes in behind the scenes.
Yeah, so I produced the 5 o'clock hour, which was the 5 and the 5:30 most days. So basically my whole day was trying to gather news. We start the morning by deciding what reporters are going to cover. And so we send them out on their stories, but that doesn't fill the whole newscast. So my day basically was trying to decide what national, state, local stories do you want to hear about, do you care about, do you need to know about, and then to kind of compile them all, what order do they need to go in, stuff like that, and put the whole newscast together. I make the graphics. I decide which video is going in. I don't cut the video, thankfully. Yeah, and then I communicate with reporters about how their story is going, if we need to adjust with that. Try to communicate with directors about all the fun things that are going on in the show, although that doesn't always happen. But, you know, yeah, so I write the show.
It was a lot easier when producers and directors were both in the building at all times.
Yeah, and I could just call back to you instead of having to text you and hope you saw your phone.
Because there were a few times, and there's different directors, and I never really liked how you directed for every producer, and every producer had to then produce for every director. I always thought one director should stick with one producer. That way, you know how they produce, they know how you direct, and you don't have to worry about, do they mean this when they put this, or...
Yeah.
You and your 80 million boxes you would try to fit into a newscast.
I love a good box.
Boxes are always fun because you could easily mess them up.
Well, eventually we started faking them then, and then all you had to do was press play.
Yep. We didn't have do anything besides just like, oh, look, there it is. We had that took a lot of it from the directors and put it on the editors, but we had a couple good editors who were good at.
Yeah.
We call it the dream team of you producing, me directing, Savannah editing.
It's the dream team.
That was the... And then it didn't really matter who the anchor was, but, you know, if we had to pick, probably... Channing? Maybe yeah. Ava?
They're all good. They all have different strengths.
They were all... Yeah. I always... Our evening news crew, I thought, did a really good job of presenting news as news. And then I always thought our Sunrise team did a good job presenting news in a friendlier way. Like if you're waking up, you don't want to be told. I felt like Sunrise is more of a conversation.
Yeah.
Whereas the evening news was more of, we're telling you everything that's happened. And I feel like that's where you would want that more.
Definitely don't need to get hit with the hard news back in the face at
right
5
off the bat when you wake up.
Not how you want to start your day.
Did you ever have to work Sunrise?
I did. I worked Sunrise for 2 weeks. When I first started, we trained producers on the Sunrise shift. So you'd come in, and we didn't do onboarding when I first started. So you'd come in for 1 9 to 3 on your first day, and then like 2 a.m. at the station, ready to go.
Oh, I don't miss those days. I don't miss those mornings.
It's a good flow. It's a fun show to work on if you're a person who can handle being awake overnight, which I am not. So, like, it was
And
fun to produce, just hard to wake up for it and stay awake.
the producers like almost have the better schedule out of everyone because they have like what's more traditionally seen as like a third shift schedule. Start at like 11 o'clock and you're done at 7 a.m. right after the show's done. Whereas the directors, the reporters, and the editors also had that same producer schedule, but the directors, the reporters, the anchors all showed up at 3 a.m., which was a really weird time to start your day at. It was,
You
I.
have more dark hours to sleep, though.
Yeah, you got a little bit. Yeah, that's true. You do get more dark hours to sleep, but that was if you could get your sleep schedule lined up. I never managed that in the 2 months I worked
No,
Sunrise.
I
It
couldn't do
was
it.
not fun. What's one thing working in news, a lot of people you don't think a lot of people know about?
Don't think a lot of people know about. That's hard. I mean, I guess just like what goes on behind the scenes, and the conversations that we have, and how hard we work to try to bring you the truth and like the real news. You know, I've seen a lot of people on social media nowadays with COVID and with the Black Lives Matter movement talking about like, oh, well, the news is like getting this wrong, or they're not telling you this, or you know, this, that, and the other. But I think especially in local journalism, we work really hard to try to bring you what's most important and what's accurate. And when that doesn't happen, there are conversations that are had in the newsroom about why we messed up and how we can hold ourselves accountable. And so it's just this constant trying to be better, and trying to make sure that we keep you informed, so that you can be a well-informed voter and a well-informed citizen of your community. And so I think that sometimes people don't really understand how hard that we work to do that, which, and they don't see it. So, you know, it makes sense when you see like, oh, that's wrong.
They
You
see a
don't
reporter up there for a minute and a half, or they'll
know.
see the anchor reading a story. They don't think about the person who had to then do the research to write the story. And the big thing with news is I've always found, and it's the one reason why I really never liked it, even before I started working in news, is you don't have the proper amount of time to build out the story. Because nobody cares about the story that happened 3 days ago, but we might have all the information now to give you the whole story. You want to know about it right when it happens. And that's why, like the next day, we reported this yesterday. Turns out this was wrong, but we went off the information we had so we could give you the news that you wanted when you wanted it.
And you know, we talk about reporters being like on call all the time, but really, you know, you start your day at 9:30. And you have from 9:30 until 4:30 at the very latest to get that story put together and built out. And you know, it's such a short amount of time. And we all do the best we can. And we have a great team of reporters who just crush it every single day, you know, but it's just such a short amount of time that there's not a lot of time to go in depth, on a lot of stories.
And a lot of times the reporters are working on two, sometimes maybe even three stories a day. And
A
so
lot
it's
to work.
not, so they can't just focus solely on one area and be like, okay, I have all the interviews set. They have to have interviews set up for three different stories, get the video for three different stories, and then try to write for three different stories. That's why I've always respected, like, once I started realizing how everything worked, I'm like, I really respect the reporters. I don't want to be them.
I couldn't do it.
Nope. That
Could
would have
not do
just,
it.
I was, I think I told Nathan when I had him on the podcast that if it got to the point where they were trying to change my story at the last minute, it'd be, no, you're getting what I give you and you're going to be happy with what I give you and I don't care what you want. That's why I was, that's kind of how I was directing too, though. It's like last second, we're going to switch this. No, you're not. You're getting what you get. Okay, I don't think I
Hey,
ever
Jacob, can I
really
have
did do
no?
that. Some other directors, yes, that's how their response would have been.
No, you're always real good, at least for me, about, hey, I need to change this. Okay, here I come.
Okay, yeah, give me a second.
Just let me get into the SOT and I'll recode it for you.
That was always, see, on the evening shift, it was nice because we had two directors. So you could always call out, like, if you needed something changed, you could call out, and the other director who wasn't focusing on punching the show and all that could jump in and recode it. On Sunrise, where the organization's not nearly as nice, they would make a call, and you, as the one punching, there were many times where I was spread out across the whole thing trying to punch the show and have my hand over here trying to recode something. And Sunrise, I think, was probably where I grew most as a director because you were the only person that gets relied on during the newscast.
Yeah. I think you
And
grow as a
then
producer in Sunrise too, because you just have so few resources.
I had talked to a former producer on Sunrise who said producing Sunrise is a lot more of a producer intensive show where there's just a lot more that you have to do in prep work. And then evening, there's not as much to do. It's more on the reporters to also to help you fill your show. What do you think about that, Kylie?
Well, the 5:30 newscast doesn't get any local content. No, but definitely, I think Sunrise has a lot on their plate because they don't, I mean, right now they don't have a reporter, so they basically have to take news that, has previously run, or they have to find the new news on their own and kind of make it fresh and make you care about it for 2 hours. And I think that's a really hard job to do.
Yeah, Sunrise was always 2 hours long, and then evenings were always an hour and a half, but it always seemed like in the evenings you had more new news.
Right. Well, because you have new people going out and getting it.
And things
Learning
happen
how
during the day a lot more often
it
than they happen at night. And then
happened.
Sunrise sometimes would be here's some things that happened overnight, but here's also a recap of what happened yesterday.
But again, you try to make it new and fresh. Like, here's the today angle of yesterday's story. So.
Yeah, if you were recovering, I don't even have an example. I've been so far out of news that it's been real refreshing, but like
I know
I can't not have examples of it.
my contract ended and I was like, no more from me right now.
What is next
And
for
I didn't
you?
have internet for the last week, and so then I've
Oh,
just
that's
been living
true.
through a rock. So
So now that you're out of news, at least for the time being, what is next?
that's a good question. what's next? So ultimately I want to get into documentaries. You know that. But so I'm kind of taking this time while we're in Milton because we're only gonna be here till the end of the year, so I don't have time to get a job in news because they're all contracts. So I'm trying to take this time to see if I can try to get my foot in the door, try to start some kind of production company. Or, you just mentioned that I married into the military. Yay, they have a program that lets you take classes to get a certificate. So try to take maybe some photography classes or something like that, just to try to help myself get to the next point in my career during this like weird little transition phase.
So, explain a little more in depth about why it's a little harder to get a job when you're married into the military for people that don't know.
Yeah, well, so right now, my husband is training, and so we know that we're only going to be in this area until probably December, January-ish. And so, like, my producing job was a 2-year contract, and so I can't go get a job that's a 2-year contract and then be like, oh, peace. They don't let you do that, and then I wouldn't feel right about trying to get like a director of photography job that's not contracted, but still, oh, I'm going to be here for 4 months and then I'm going to bounce, So right now, while he's still training, and while we're still bouncing around, it's a little harder. But once he's out of training and hits the fleet, as they say, we'll start being in places for a little bit longer. So about 3 years or so, hopefully, per place. And once that starts, then it should be a little easier to get a job in news because we'll have some stability. So fingers crossed.
So, and that's always produced, like, that's always kind of confused me is why some jobs had contracts and other ones didn't.
Yeah. I think part of my understanding from what one of my mentors in college said is that like you want somebody in a contract because it costs more to replace them, especially reporters. Like, you
Oh,
see,
yeah.
you have to like fly in a reporter candidate and you have to like spend all this money to interview them. And so it costs money to replace and to train and whatever. And so you kind of want to make sure you have some of that stability, that they're not going to just up and bounce on you and you have to spend all that money again, is what I've heard.
And it makes a lot of, you have to, you, cause as a reporter, once you leave a station, typically there's a no compete clause written into your contract that
I want those too.
You cannot work within so many miles of the station you were just at. So that's why you have to get flown into a new city and go through a whole interview process there.
Right. Yeah. So, you can't just bounce over to the competitor.
I mean, I could have, but
you could have, yes, but
I kind of just wanted out of Florida for a little bit.
Can't blame you there.
So you grew up, went to college. Was it Virginia where you grew up too?
No, I grew up in Central Florida and then I went to college in Virginia.
So why Florida to Virginia?
I needed to get out of Florida for a little bit. Central Florida is even hotter than Tallahassee, believe it or not. And I was just real tired of the weather. So I didn't even apply anywhere in state. I went to Virginia because I was looking at, I knew I wanted a small liberal arts college and I knew that I wanted journalism. So I was just going through, you know, like you get all this ridiculous college mail and you're like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, I don't want any of this. But the university that I went to Washington University in Lexington. And so they sent me like a whole like a brochure. And I was like, all right, I'll flip through this. And they're one of the only liberal arts schools in the country with an accredited journalism program. So that ticked off two of my boxes. And then I went and visited the summer before my senior year, I think, or on spring break, something like that. And just, I mean, it's beautiful. It's like right in the Blue Ridge Mountains, you know, like tiny little town, like the campus is gorgeous. And I just fell in love and was like, okay, here I come. So getting out of Florida.
You're a Floridian who's dealt with a little bit of a winter.
Yeah.
What's that change like?
Oh,
as somebody who's never even dealt with it before, all of a sudden, not only are you dealing with it, but you're having to deal with it without knowing anything about it.
I went up to college and I didn't own a single sweater. I just want to make that known. My mom had to come up for parents' weekend and buy me some sweaters. Yeah, it was definitely a change. I remember my roommate was from Illinois, and so she was used to the cold. And like right outside of Chicago. And so I remember that fall, it was like 65 degrees one day. And I was like, oh my God, it's so cold outside. And I had jeans and a jacket on. And my roommate is like, what are you talking about? And then we had a real cold winter my first year there. I mean, like it was Southern Virginia, so it didn't get super bad, but it snowed. And I was just like, I'm never gonna be warm again. Like it was miserable. I was so cold. And then snow is like fun the first time. And then after that, it's just not fun anymore.
That's what I always said. I'm like, if I can get snow, maybe for a week.
Yeah.
A week is about as long as I can tolerate it.
Yeah.
And then bring back the warm temperatures. And then
they won't even cancel class for snow. So.
Oh, no. Because everyone's like, oh, no, you're adjusted to this.
Snow day. 4 years.
We got my last year of college. We got more than that because it was 1 year in college. The last year we had a whole week canceled.
Oh my gosh.
Because it was something crazy, like in the negative 15 and below every day, yeah, on top of all the snow and all the ice. And they were like, yeah, the whole like side of the state, which is the first time I've ever seen that, like all closed down. Nobody went anywhere. It was kind of like pre-COVID quarantine for just snow.
Yikes.
So a little bit about COVID. Your job got really turned upside down.
It did.
Because of COVID. So we kind of talked about what it was like before all of COVID. So go into what you had to then adjust to.
Yeah. So I, at the end of March, I got sent to produce from home. And then little did I know that that was going to be my last, 3 months at the station would all be working from home. And so it was definitely an adjustment. When you're working in the newsroom, you're connected to the newsroom. You're connected to the people coming in and out of it. I can, you know, holler across the newsroom at Vicky if I need something, at our news director. You know, you're kept up to date because everything's happening around you. And transitioning to working from home, you're taken out of that. So I you know, was given a work laptop, work phone, so I still had access to all of our programs from home. But it's just me in my house with my cat, you know. I can't, if I need something, I have to hope that somebody answers their phone. I have to hope that, you know, you answered my text message. people like forget to tell me things sometimes, you know, like, oh, the story's dead, but I don't find out until, you know, an hour or two later when the afternoon update comes out or somebody's like, oh yeah, we gotta tell Kylie that, you know, because it's not, I'm not there while it's happening. And so there's, you have to communicate, you have to really focus on communication. So that was one thing. And then the other thing is that I couldn't communicate with live reporters as well. My internet sucked. So if something went wrong in show, I sometimes was just totally powerless to fix it. So I had to rely a lot more on you and on the other directors too.
I loved those little panicked. My EMPS is frozen. I can't do anything.
Yep. Yep. Like, Jacob, can you move the story down? Because I just have the little spinning wheel again. Yeah. So definitely an adjustment. I mean, it was nice because I didn't have to drive 30 minutes to work every morning. But then a lot harder to be away from my friends, away from the station, away from, you know, the heart of it all. So.
And that's what I said. That was as one of the last things I said to everyone as I was leaving. I said, had COVID not hit, I doubt I would have been considering leaving right now. And it was because, you know, you went from seeing the people you considered friends and at least even acquaintances every day to now all of a sudden we didn't see each other for like 2.5 months. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen any of the reporters besides them being on TV when I was telling them that you're up, you're down.
Yeah.
And it really became a lot of, you're at work by yourself, then especially for you, you were just by yourself all day long. And with COVID, you couldn't go out and do anything. So it's not like you could get a group from work together and go, we're going to the bar or we're going to a party or anything like that.
Yeah. And it's hard to separate work from home too then, because, you know, I mean, I lived in a one bedroom apartment. You know, I'm producing from my living room and then work's over and I'm still in my living room, you know, like there's no transition. So I had to start at the beginning, like there's like a trail that runs through my apartment complex. And so I would just close my computer and just go walk for a little bit because it's a hard adjustment to be suddenly like, oh, I'm working, but this is also home. And it's a weird space.
It was always weird for me to even driving back to my apartment to disconnect from work. Because we had work phones, you had work emails coming in on your personal phone. And so you would just, every 5 minutes, it's like, is this new text? Nope, it's another new update on the story that we talked about earlier today. Or, and that's where I started having a problem, is just being able to disconnect from work and totally not feel like I'm working. Because in news, you're always working.
Yeah, you're always. One thing that I did like that the station did very early on was encourage us to take our personal days.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, the policy had been like, oh, you have to request essentially a month and a half off in advance or something like that. But they changed that policy and they were like, don't get burnout. If you need a day off, please tell us. We'll work with you. You know, I took one day. And so I think that they were trying real hard to try to help us keep from getting burnt out. But I mean, it's just gonna happen. It's hard on everybody.
Mm-hmm. And especially like when you can't get away from it.
Yeah.
Even when go ahead.
Go for it. And so another thing too, you know, pre-COVID, your newscast is like a mix of, you know, different kinds of news, local news, national news, you know, crime, politics, lifestyle, all this kind of thing. And then it just turned into an hour of COVID. And so then your whole job for 9 hours a day becomes reading about COVID, and it's just exhausting, you know, just the sheer amount of information about coronavirus that you're just getting pounded. And then you get desensitized to it too. Mm-hmm.
Especially in the beginning of COVID, I felt like that was like the hardest time, because that was your entire newscast was completely COVID. At least towards the end, it was like, we'd start the show with here's updates and then kind of then transitioned into other news, but we always then, COVID always got sprinkled back in with, here's a free testing site, here's this new thing about this politician saying about COVID. And yeah. So you never truly were able to get away from it. And especially in the beginning, like, that was it. That's all the newscast was. All of our reporters were doing live stories based on COVID. And it was really hard because then you'd see all the comments and everyone would, why do we care? This isn't, back before, like, it really kind of became, all right, this is real. It's real. It was really a lot of, news got a lot of hate there for a long time. Yeah. And, you know, the media is not telling you this or the media is not telling you that. There's so many different forms of media now, where you have your national news, your local news, your news on social medias, your fake news on social medias, people that just spread things, and people can't tell the difference between them anymore.
Yeah. We're all doing the best that we can, like the news media in general. But yeah, I mean, it's hard when you see your friends share articles from sites that are clearly fake and you're like, that's not real.
And trying to be, because we've gone through school and learned how to, here's how you can spot a good source. Here's how you know this is not good. And it's hard to try to explain that to people who have no idea.
Right.
And they're like, well, it says this person who looks like they have the credentials. And then that's when it gets scary, because then people share it and then it gets shared more and more. And all of a sudden you have a YouTube video that everyone's talking about how COVID's fake and it's getting shared all over the place. And then people are believing it. And then we're trying to be like, no, here's the real stuff. Here's right. A lot of people, like, I felt like at least our station did a really, really, really good job of separating facts from our opinions. Because we all had our strong opinions when everything was going on. But working in local news, you can't put your own opinion into something.
Right.
Because that's when then a lot of trouble starts. Yeah.
Well, something that I think people are also tired of is this, you know, virus happened so fast and the information on it changed so fast that, you know, guidance one day was not a different day. And so people are like, well, what's the truth? You know, like at the beginning, you're telling us, oh, we need to wear masks. Oh, don't wear masks. Oh, now you have to wear masks. You know, like, I think people are tired of trying to sort through all the different, the guidelines and the guidances and trying to figure out, you know, what's actually true and what's happening, and hearing us, you know, say a bunch of different things. But, you know, we're all trying to figure it out. Scientists mm-hmm. are trying to figure it out. Journalists are trying to figure it out, you know.
We can only go, news can only report as fast as somebody is saying something. And then the scientists can only say something as fast as the results come back in. And things change so quickly, people just didn't, no one understood what was going on. And news then got caught in the crossfire because we were reporting and then it's, well, you told us this yesterday. Well, no, now we're telling you this today.
Right.
It became even really confusing for me sitting in the control room going, wait, what are we doing now?
Right. Yeah. So it's all been changing so fast and everybody's trying to keep up, but you know, it's all new.
Mm-hmm.
None of us have ever done this before. So we're all doing our best to try to figure it out.
We also, working at WTXL when we did, had the blessing of a brand new set.
Yes.
Brand new graphics package.
New set.
And brand new weather system that they decided all to all roll once. Out at the same time. Things that normally get spread out over a couple months. They decided at our station, nope, all of it right now.
Yep.
It was a really interesting, it was like a 2-3 month process.
Yeah.
Because I had started in August and they were talking about, we're going to have this new set. Here's the designs. They had already designed it, been working on it for a while. And then it was like middle of November when we finally had the new set. They started working on it sometime in September. We went from our old set out into the newsroom on a green screen, which then was always fun because they didn't tell us everything we could do when we were all together. Mm-hmm. And so one person would hear, make sure everyone knows that they can't do this and you can do this. And then it took a while for all that news to get around. And then there was some butting of heads between directors and producers and news directors and anchors, just trying to figure out everything that we could and couldn't do working on a green screen now.
Yeah.
And then the training process to be ready for the first day the set got launched.
Yeah, that was an adventure. Because we're trying to learn new graphics at the same time, you know, producers are. And then we're also trying to make sure that none of the new graphics end up in a show where the old graphics should be playing before they roll out. So let me tell you, that was stressful.
Oh, that was, I remember a couple times being like, that's not supposed to happen yet.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, like, I love our new set. I think it's beautiful.
It's amazing. It's not, like, yep. New.
Is it? It's been almost almost
a year, yeah.
Feels so long ago. There's so much as a producer that you can do with it. There's so many places to put anchors, and you can change the background. Although, thankfully, coronavirus hit, and I never had to do that.
Yeah, that we never really had to deal with that. Like, it was, it got to the point where directing was so repetitive because. Yeah. I got it down to a science to where it's like, all right, I can have my anchor on camera two the entire show for almost every shot. I don't have to, like, go create. I don't have to code creatively. It's just, I'm going to do this. And then I started getting real boring. And because you're like, okay, I remember when we used to do this, I used to have to, like, sit there and go, well, Ava stands on this side. Channing stands on this side. So which side does his over-the-shoulder graphic go on? And then, well, if he needs to move to the sports wall and Ava's on camera, how do I? So it was a lot more, interesting.
And there's definitely fewer things you can do when one of your anchors is sitting on a static shot from home.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also more you can do because now Channing can move around while Abby's talking or Ava's talking, and you don't have to be like, okay, is he going to cross over a camera? Is this going to screw up? Like, you know, so it's just an adjustment, you know, trying to figure out what you can do and how you can be creative with.
And for the one most anchor. Part, yeah, for the most part, working in news, you also kind of love your own bloopers.
Yes.
The funny one. The ones where it doesn't, where it's not too big of a deal. Like Ava walking behind Channing while Channing's on camera. And you're trying to tell her, don't do that. She's not hearing you through her earpiece. And all you can do is laugh. But there have been times where it was not so funny. And it was very stressful to deal with.
Yeah.
We always refer back to our 5-4-3-2-1 package.
Oh my gosh. That was, my soul died that day.
I remember looking back at you going, because I was only maybe a month into directing. And I looked back at you and you just kind of like were shaking your head. And I was like, okay, we're going to come out of this package now.
I was like, out. Because I was like, is there sound? Does it end?
So a little background. One of our reporters had gone out and was supposed to be live. Well, in northern Florida, cell service is awful almost everywhere outside of Tallahassee. And that's how our live units sent back the signal. So she was supposed to be live. She couldn't get a good enough signal to go live. But and then it was, she's going to be live. And then, oh, she found signal. She's going to be, now she's, it kept going back and forth. Live, not live, live, not live. And finally it was, no, just send us your package. And so she scrambled to send a package back that was supposed to be what she was going to read over and just video. And when it got back to Savannah, our MVP editor, and she was told, get it in the show, get it in the show. And it got in. but nobody had communicated that things needed to be edited and there needed to be cuts made throughout this whole, because this all happened in 5 minutes. Like, things go wrong, they go wrong very quickly. It's not something that builds to going wrong, it just goes wrong. And we got to that story, and the first thing we heard was 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then the reporter read her script, started reading her script, and then stopped and counted again. And it was, we all just kind of like stared at each other like, what's going on? What do we do? It was a very interesting newscast, to say the least.
But then it's, you know, it was one of those times where, because the next day in the morning meeting, we sat around and we were like, how did this happen? How can this never happen again? Mm-hmm. You know, so things go wrong and your soul dies a little. And then you say, all right, let's learn. How are we fixing this? How can we hold ourselves accountable? How can we make sure that nothing like this ever happens again?
We had a lot of interesting times where, is the reporter going to make it for their live shot? And every time that happened, I saw another little piece of Kylie's soul die.
4:50, where are my reporters?
Yep. And most of the time, I liked what, when the producer walked in and been like, mic check already got, they're good, we're ready to go. But then it became, where did they go?
Yeah,
that was the worst part, is when
just dies.
You had everything lined up, everything was great, and all of a sudden, you're two stories out, and you look up, and you're like, where'd they go?
The worst is when you realize their shot dies as you take them on air, and you're like, oh, there's no Jada.
There's no Jada. Chantel's disappeared.
We're all frozen.
And then it was a quick get into the anchor's ear and go, read, read, read. Anchors have to, I don't think people realize how much anchors have to deal with.
Anchors don't get enough credit.
A lot of people are just, well, they're a pretty face that reads the prompter. Well, they read the prompter, but then they also, especially if you have a good anchor, they can ad lib it a little bit and make a story that's written good turn into a story that ends up being great. Mm-hmm. I felt like we had that a lot with Channing, where he could just be like, no, let me look at this script. I'm going to rewrite it just so it, because he knew how he spoke.
Right.
And that's where, but you do get some anchors who just want to sit there and just read something that somebody else wrote. They don't care. We didn't have that at our station. The anchors wanted their input because, again, they want to turn the stories into a better story. But I like the panic that would ensue in the control room and things that we're freaking out about, thinking this is a huge deal, this is a huge deal. And then the newsroom doesn't even realize something's going wrong. They're like, it just feels like everything went smoothly. And meanwhile, we come out of the control room like panicked, freaking out. And everyone's like, good show. And you're like, what?
Yeah. I mean, like, so Anthony would watch our newscasts on YouTube TV. And I would text him and be like, oh my God, everything's falling apart. And he's like, it looks fine to me. Like, how does it look fine to you?
And now the world is ending. Now I can sit and watch news and be like, oh, that was a mistake. Oh, here's this little error that I've made hundreds of times, but now you can spot them. And it's little things that nobody would notice.
Right.
Besides you.
Yeah.
Those are always some of the fun times.
And all you can do, I mean, at that point, all you can do is laugh.
Yep.
Like, it's already gone wrong.
I was training new directors was, when you make a mistake, it's fine. Move past it. Acknowledge your mistake and keep going.
Yeah. Don't let it spiral. Like, we've all made a worse mistake. We've all had a bad show. Even if I snap at you, why did you come out of that sod early?
One of the things that my boss said to me was, nobody ever died making live news. Or producing, directing live news. There's probably been reporters who have, but
yeah.
Like, we never had to, like, The only way we're going to die because of it is if we stress ourselves out too much and have a heart attack in the middle of the show.
You can, like, see my heart rate on my watch just, like, 3 o'clock it starts going up.
My heart rate has been much better. My blood pressure's gone down. And I just feel less stressed since I've not been working in news. I'm just like, oh, it's another day. Don't have to.
Like sometimes it hits 4 o'clock and I'm like, oh man, I'd be real stressed out right about now.
Yeah, like I was the other day. Like right now, it's going on 2 p.m. I would have been sitting at work going, is there anything? Is anything in yet? Does Kylie have her anchor reads in? Probably not. So
4:30. Hey, I just remembered the 5:30 anchor reads need to go in.
Or at 5:25 when all of a sudden you hear me go, oh shit. And you go, what? And I go, nothing. And then like 10 minutes later, I'm like, so the 5 o'clock or the 5:30 had zero codes in it.
All you can do is laugh.
That's all. Yep. There's been so many times where you feel like you've made a huge, terrible mistake. But everyone's always been real good about, whatever.
And it's not that we don't care because, you know, like, we want to put out a good product. Like, we want clean shows. We want, you know. But you can't, you know, tomorrow's a new day. As my faculty advisor always said, TikTok goes the broadcast clock. You know, here comes another show. Another chance to get it right.
You can't, yeah. If you stress out too much about it, something that's already happened, that only gives you more opportunities to mess up things that are going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
So realize the mistake you made. Learn how to not make that mistake again and move on.
There was one day, though. Oh, my gosh. I was boothing a midday, which I didn't produce. I just came in to booth it, and I guess something was wrong with like the chroma or whatever. And so we're in the B block in a national package about one of the synagogue shootings. So like it was a really serious story, and we're gonna go right from that package into weather. And so Alex is like getting ready to come on to stand on the green screen to do weather. And so we're like in this, like it's an interview, like a SOT, you know, in the package, and like the guy's face is taking up most of the screen, and then just like on walks Alex Cordero. Just a little like on live on TV, like there's just a little Alex. And there's nothing I can do about it because I don't know how to work any of that. And so I'm just like crying from laughter and it's terrible because it's a serious story. And I'm just like cackling, crying in the booth as like engineering and our assistant news director come running in. I was like, I can't do anything but sit here and laugh. But poor little Alex.
Midday was the redheaded stepchild of the entire news station. Nobody liked to claim midday. It was just kind of, it was there. It was the noon show that it happened.
But then sometimes, you know, you get the breaking news at midday and you're like live off the top, you know, and it's fun and you're happy you have it midday because you don't have to wait till 5 o'clock to break it on air. So,
but I like midday there during coronavirus really turned into a whole nother beast because a lot of times, like, it wasn't always known who was going to be boothing the show. You know where I'm going already. And one day, Justin, the sunrise director, and I were both sitting in there as the show's getting ready to start. And I turned around, and there was nobody sitting in the producer's booth. And I went, interesting. And I went out in the newsroom, and I was like, we have no one to booth. And they went, well, Kylie's supposed to be doing it while you were at home.
But no one had told me that.
And so I run back into the control room and I started boothing the show. So I'm like, I've watched producers and they hit space bar when the story changes. So I think that I'm going to start doing that. And in the meantime, I'm trying to text you at the same time. I think you're supposed to be boothing. And you finally showed up. The anchor was shocked that I had boothed a perfect A block. I'm going to toot my own horn on that one. She never did give me, so, you know, Angela never did bring me. She said she was going to bring me something to eat the next day, but then that was always the day I went from day side to night side, so I wasn't even there, and she never gave me her thank you for that. I'm going to hold that over her head.
You should.
But one thing I always feel like a lot of people don't understand is how cool the people that work in news are.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, you kind of assume that, oh, they're on TV, they think they're famous, they're kind of stuck up. And that's the furthest thing from the truth, at least at our station.
Yeah.
Our lead meteorologist, Cass, who smart, one of the smartest people you'll ever meet talking about weather. But if you try to talk to him about anything else, he's just like, okay, cool. Hi. Thanks. He was, you know, you would assume, because meteorologists are like the biggest thing you'll get, the closest thing you get to a celebrity. But Cass never gave that off, gave that
Yeah.
perception off to me.
My favorite cast moment was he was doing weather live from where the like Halloween spooktacular whatever was gonna be, and just like kept like hitting us with the Halloween puns, like in his weather hit, and I was like, Cass.
I absolutely loved all of the transitions going from stories to weather
Yeah.
because Cass would somehow work some nice transition in there.
Yeah.
And it always, like, we would sit there and I think it just became a game for the producers to see how can Cass transition this story into weather now. And every
Yeah.
time he would just do it almost flawlessly, and you'd be like, he doesn't know this is coming. He just
Yeah.
goes.
Yeah, it was always a surprise, and he would just
And then you'd hear laughter from PCR as all of us are
just
just
hear some
laughing,
cat.
like, how? It's not even fair.
Yeah, no, it's something that, like, you know, I guess we're all like a big family, you know, and everybody was always willing to, that was something I liked, is that everybody was always willing to jump in and help. There's no, and that's what, you know, when even when I was interviewing, you know, when I would ask questions and say, you know, what do you like working about at the station? That was everybody's answer, was like, it's a big family and we all want to work together to help everybody succeed and lift everybody up. And that was absolutely true. The whole time that I was there was if I asked for help, I got help, you know. Anchors are willing to jump in and write. Managers are willing to jump in and write. You know, like if a reporter needs help with their story, I can jump in and write it. You know, everybody's helping everybody out so that we can produce the best product that we can.
I had even written a couple stories and I was like, I hate writing, but yes, I'll jump in and try
Sure,
to
I'll
write
give it
it. Channing, look at it afterwards.
a try. Yeah.
But yeah, that's a lot of that's a lot of, local news is one of the most close-knit groups you can work in. It's also one of the least paid groups you work in.
Ain't that the truth?
We yeah, there was I saw it going around, and you probably follow news people on Twitter too, but it was going around a it was a new it was a sports reporter job, and the starting pay was like 25,000 a year. And a lot of people that work in news were, oh yeah, I made even less than that when I started, and I'd had to do this. And it's really like that's I that's one thing people don't understand is, yes, you're on TV. Yes, you're making this really important thing people look forward to every day, but there's not a lot of money in it. People who work in news aren't getting rich.
And then you see like on Facebook the shirts going around that are like defund the media, and I'm like, the media doesn't have any funding.
We get no
We're all
funding.
underpaid.
Our money comes from the commercials we run
Yeah.
during the shows. That's
Please
it.
don't take away my paycheck.
Because I mean, yeah, like, and that's, like I was, people in just assume people in news are so uptight, stuck up, rich. Furthest thing from the truth
We're in news because we care about
about
people and we care
news.
about the world and about, you know, making it a better place and making it a more informed place.
Not because you want to get rich. You don't get into news to get
I don't
rich.
get much news.
You only
No.
get rich in news when you make it to the top 10% of news. And it's
Yeah.
a very small, the top 10%.
Yeah.
Everyone else, like, and if it, yes, they might have the nice suits and the nice cars, but there's that's a facade. It's not real.
Yeah. We're not here for the money.
Nope. At least the people who definitely most of the people that work behind the scenes, and I would even say a lot of the people that work on there. You're not in the news to get famous. If you wanted to get famous, you go into film. So, anything you want to talk about before you go?
I feel like we probably hit all the fun news adventures.
Hit on the ones that we can at least tell on the podcast. Without getting in trouble with former coworkers.
I know, I'm just like waiting for Vicky to text me and be like, so.
Vicky won't ever see this. It's fine.
No, I got in trouble in college for doing a podcast with my sorority, so I'm very like, what am I gonna say?
I've gotten in trouble with a sorority. I've told you that story. Yeah. I've gotten in trouble with a sorority because the girl I was dating was in the sorority.
Yeah.
So yeah, yes, I can understand how you would get in trouble with a sorority being on a podcast.
They didn't love it.
Well, it's been nice talking to you. Where can people follow you if you want to let people follow you?
I'm on Twitter, sort of.
Something down there. Something below her. Yeah, something below her over there. And it's been really nice seeing you. Nice talking to you again. Keep in touch.
Absolutely.
And have fun being newly married.
Thank you. Have fun in Michigan. Tell your little kitty I said hi.
Yeah, he was walking around here. Yeah, I was waiting for him to jump up here because he likes to jump up there.
Oh, yeah.
And scare me because the whole chair almost falls backwards because he's kind of fat. But nice talking to you. Catch up soon.
For sure.
# unemployed life.
Whoop, whoop. Living the dream.
Hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the podcast. If you did, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Leave a like on YouTube if you're watching there. And make sure you subscribe to stay updated and get the new episodes as soon as they drop. I've been Jacob from Quantity, and I'll see you guys all next time.